نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها آمين يا رب العالمين جزء نمبر 18 سورة المؤمنون المؤمنون is the plural of مؤمن the believers This surah was revealed in Mecca Musnad Ahmad quotes Umar radiallahu anhu that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to receive wahi, they would hear the sound like the buzzing of bees. One day when they heard such a sound, they all waited, hoping to learn about the revelation. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to his normal state after receiving the wahi, he sat down facing the Kaaba and prayed to Allah in the following words, O Allah, give us more bounties and do not decrease them for us and grant us respect. And do not put us to humiliation, and give us, and do not deprive us, and give us preference over our enemies, and do not give preference to our enemies against us, and be pleased with us, and make us pleased. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, Just now 10 verses have been revealed to me, and anyone who follows them in letter and spirit will go to heaven. He then recited the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun. So now we have to test ourselves whether we fit this description. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Certainly, the believers have already succeeded. مُفْلِحُونَ فَلَاح It means the attainment of all desires as well as protection from all misfortunes. That is true success. Allah says, The believers have already reached success. Certainly the believers will have succeeded. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ The mu'mineen are the ones who are submissive during their prayer, humbly submissive. خُشُو means to lower your voice, lower your eyes, and become soft in your body, pliable. How do we obtain khushu, the concentration, the humility that we need? Khushu is a pillar of salah, remember that. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam watched someone pray one time and he made him repeat the prayer 3 times. This is so crucial to our salah that we're going to spend some time talking about this. So what's the first thing that I can do? Prepare oneself for prayer properly. Repeat the words to the adhan, do wudu properly, use siwak or toothbrush to clean and perfume the mouth, wear one's best and cleanest clothing, cover your body properly, and purify the spot where we are going to pray. Know the meaning of the salah. Each and every word that we recite in salah is a communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is imperative that we know the meaning of all the words that we recite in salah. Make sure your niyyah is correct. In salah, there is no verbal intention. It's all in the heart. The Prophet ﷺ did not teach us a verbal recitation for our niyyah before salah. But he did teach the sahaba to make an intention in their hearts and to make sure that this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was all done silently. Remember that one is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not move your eyes here and there. Do not struggle with your clothes. Do not scratch your body unless it's absolutely necessary. Concentrate on each ayah. Know the meaning of the ayahs that you recite during salah. Pause after each ayah, particularly Surah Al-Fatiha. Pray with a barrier or sutra in front of yourself. Move your index finger while in tashahud because the Prophet ﷺ said it is more powerful against shaitan than the iron. Do not pray when food is prepared and is already served Do not pray when you need to answer the call of nature. Do not pray when you are feeling sleepy. Take a short nap and then get up and pray. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if any one of you feels sleepy when he is praying, he should sleep until he is rested enough to know what he is saying. Keep your eyes focused on the place of sajda. Try to stifle your yawns during salah. And if you get distracted, try to come back and concentrate on what you're saying again and think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If shaitan persists in distracting you, then gently spit to your left 3 times and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And you can do that during salah because this was an active sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah increase our khushu. Remember, move at a measured pace. The bones need to come to rest with every action. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Certainly will the believers have succeeded, they who are during their prayer humbly submissive. May Allah grant us khushu. Ameen. Remember, salah prepares the ground for the next salah. Salah prepares the ground for the rest of our lives, our life between each salah. Khushu gives rise to patience and other affairs of our life. Khushu gives rise to inner peace, firmness, steadfastness. The shallowness in our personalities goes away and depth comes in. Our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very strong. Remember, khushu is part of salah just as much as Surat Fatiha is. After this, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they who turn away from ill speech, لَغْو, useless things, things that don't benefit us at all. But why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned khushu before this? And right after this, لَغْو, useless, ill speech. Because khushu helps us to concentrate. And once a person starts enjoying their salah, they will automatically turn away from useless things. Entertainment, gossip, backbiting. It's good to do certain things to relax oneself, absolutely. But they will not engage in them endlessly because they have a greater purpose in life. And khushu gives us that seriousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about in the previous surah and Surah Hajj. Remember, in the last ayah of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. And strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now places the basic tenets of our religion. The first of that is to concentrate in our salah, to have khushu in our salah, to be humbly submissive to Allah with our body, mind and spirit during salah. And then Allah says, the mu'mineen have certainly benefited, certainly succeeded. Because why? They have turned away from love, ill speech, useless things. And then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. They are those who are observant of zakah, purification. That is what the Prophet ﷺ came to do. تَزْكِيَةٌ nafs. Allah says they are engaged in making themselves better over and over, and they continuously ask for forgiveness from Allah. And then Allah says, and they who guard their private parts, except from their wives, or those their right hands possess, for indeed they will not be blamed. This means people fulfill their natural sexual needs through their lawful partners, the wives and the female slaves. Remember again that this was a time when it was common to have slaves. But Allah warns, and then He says, but whoever seeks beyond that, meaning to have sexual intimacy with someone other than that, then those are the transgressors. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. So how does one seek physical intimacy with someone other than the lawful spouses? By looking, by our thoughts, by acting upon it. The Prophet ﷺ said that the eyes do zina, the hands do zina. That means looking at inappropriate things. It is forbidden in Islam. Allah says those are transgressors. And then Allah says, and they who are to their trusts and their promises attentive, they carefully guard their trusts. Ra'i is a shepherd. So Allah says they guard their amanat. When someone keeps an amana with them, they very carefully guard it. And then wa ahdihim, and their promises, they very carefully keep their promises. It is not a small thing to them. If they have promised someone something, they will fulfill it, barring something unusual happening. Do you know the depth of the meaning of amana? Amana, the root, means security, safety. Someone has told you a secret, and they looked here and there, making sure nobody else could hear them while they're conversing with you. That means, without them having to say a word, that it is an amana upon you not to share it with anyone. Yes, not even your spouse. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in meaning that there is no iman on one who does not fulfill his promises and does not fulfill his amanas. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no faith for the one who has no trust, and there is no deen for the one that does not fulfill his promises. Subhanallah. What is the next attribute? Allah says, and they who carefully maintain their prayers, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Salah comes up again. In the first ayah about Salah, Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They who are during their prayer, every single prayer, humbly submissive. Here Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ, in all of their salah, يُحَافِظُونَ, حَافِظ, they protect their salah. They do not take their salah lightly. No matter where they are, they protect it, they guard it, they make sure that they say it on time. Our iman, our success, begins with salah and ends with salah, but look at everything else that's in the middle. Those are akhlaqiyat, those are characteristics, our attitudes, our way of dealing with other people, other human beings. People who don't get involved in love, in ill speech, when they see or hear someone fighting, they gently just walk away. They don't get involved in arguments. They are observant of purification. They want to do tazkiyah of themselves. That is the most important thing. Their eyes do not wander here and there looking at haram. And then they keep their trust. They fulfill their promises. They are reliable people, trustworthy people. You know that if you tell them something, they will never repeat it to anyone else. And you don't even have to remind them. And then Allah says they also protect their salah. What is this success that Allah has promised them? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those are the inheritors who will inherit Al-Firdaus. They will abide therein eternally. What is Al-Firdaus? The highest part of Jannah. If someone fulfills all of these requirements with due diligence and the correct intention, that person will inherit Al-Firdaus. The Prophet ﷺ told us, when you ask for Jannah, ask for its highest part. For Al-Firdaus, Allah says they will inherit it. After all of this hard work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will inherit it. What is inheritance? Inheritance is something that is left by someone else for you when they pass away. It is wealth, money, property that they have worked hard for. But now they leave it to you and you have not earned it, except that you have a relationship with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us, insha'Allah, inherit Al-Firdaus. Why? Because we have a relationship with Him. And that relationship is established through all of these tenets, having all of these attributes consistently before we leave this world. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Ameen. And then in the next ayah, Allah tells us who we truly are. What was our beginning? What is our beginning? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. And certainly did we create man from an extract of clay. Then we placed him as a sperm drop in a firm lodging, meaning the womb. Then we made the sperm drop into a clinging clot, and we made the clot into a lump of flesh, and we made from the lump bones, and we covered the bones with flesh. Then we developed him into another creation. So blessed is Allah, the best of creators, فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. Allah gives us a great deal of detail of our own creation. ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون. Then indeed, after that, you are to die. There were a lot of stages in our creation, which means that there was a reason for it. Then Allah says, And we have created above you seven layered heavens, and never have we been of our creation unaware. And we have sent down rain from the sky in a measured amount, and settled it in the earth. And indeed, we are able to take it away. And we have brought forth for you thereby gardens of palm trees and grape vines, in which for you are abundant fruits and from which you eat. And we brought forth a tree issuing from Mount Sinai, which produces oil and food for those who eat, meaning olives. Lots of detail. And indeed for you in livestock is a lesson. We give you drink from that which is in their bellies, and for you in them are numerous benefits, and from them you eat. It is true, Alhamdulillah, and upon them and on ships you are carried. Alhamdulillah, why so much detail? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe every single thing that He has created in so much detail? Because He wants for us to be humble, to be humbled by the creation and power of Allah, by the design of Allah, and all of that He has created for us, for you and I. Who benefits from the heavens? The shade, the clouds, the protection of the ozone layer, we do. Who benefits from the rain that comes from the sky? We do. Who benefits from the gardens of palm trees and grape vines and all the fruit and vegetables that Allah has created? We do. Who benefits from the olives? We do. Buying, selling, trading, eating. The same thing happens with the livestock. We drink the milk which is in their bellies. We use them as food, and we use their body parts for medicines and other goods. Allah says, and upon them, meaning on the animals, you are carried. We use them for transportation, and on ships you are carried. We would not be able to trade, the countries would not be able to trade with each other, if it was not for the ships that carry our cargo. Alhamdulillah, why does Allah speak about all of these and our creation? Because we were nothing. We are nothing. We have created nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us every single thing, even the oxygen that we breathe in and out. Allah says, this is from Allah. If we try to enumerate, to count the number of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, we would never be able to do so. But for spending a short amount of our life just taking care of the attributes that He has mentioned in the first 11 ayat of Surat Mu'minun, Allah will grant us Firdaus. He does not need anything from us. Allah is already giving us so much in this dunya. On top of that, Allah will give us Jannah for just striving for a few years, the short life that we have. Allahu Akbar. We cannot ever thank Him enough. We cannot ever describe how grateful we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah write us amongst the shakirin, those who are truly grateful to Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Then Allah reminds us of our purpose in the next ayat from stories of the previous prophets. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ And we had certainly sent Noah to his people, and he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. Then will you not fear Him? But the eminent among those who disbelieved from His people, they said, This is not but a man like yourselves who wishes to take precedence over you. This was their first argument against Noah alayhi salam. This is not but a man like yourselves who wishes to take precedence over you. He just wants power. And if Allah had willed to send a messenger, He would have sent down angels. We have not heard of this among our forefathers. This is something completely new and amazing. He is not but a man possessed with madness. So wait concerning him for a time. This was their second argument against Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam said, My Lord, support me, because they have denied me. A beautiful, beautiful dua. Rabbin sulni bima kathaboon. So we, Allah says, inspired to him, construct the ship under our supervision and our inspiration, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was guiding him the whole time. And when our command comes and the oven overflows, meaning the water that was going to bubble up from the depths of the earth, Allah says, put into it, the ship, from each creature, two mates and your family, except those for whom the decree of destruction has proceeded. And do not address me concerning those who have wronged. Indeed, they are going to be drowned. And when you have boarded the ship, you and those with you, then say, Alhamdulillahilladhi najjana min al-qawmi zalimeen. Praise to Allah who has saved us from the wrongdoing people. And say, Rabbi anzilni munzalam mubarakam wa anta khayrul munzilin. And say, My Lord, let me land at a blessed landing place, and you are the best to accommodate us. A beautiful dua for when one is boarding a ship. It's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, in that are signs, and indeed, we are ever testing our servants, Allah says. Wa in kunna lamubtaleen. Allah tested Nuh alayhi salam and the people of Nuh alayhi salam. Some of them passed the test and the others failed. Then we produced after them a generation of others, and we sent among them a messenger from themselves saying, Worship Allah. Who was this Prophet Hud who was sent to the tribe of Ad, the descendants of the survivors of Nuh alayhi salam? He said, Worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. Then will you not fear Him? The same message. أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. Again Allah says, And the eminent among His people and denied the meeting of the hereafter, while we had given them luxury in the worldly life, said, This is not but a man like yourselves. He eats of that from which you eat and drinks of what you drink. And if you should obey a man like yourselves, indeed you would then be losers. Does he promise you that when you have died and become dust and bones, that you will be brought forth once more? How far is that which you are promised? Meaning how distant and how improbable it is. It, meaning life, is not but our worldly life. We die and live, but we will not be resurrected. He, the Prophet, is not but a man who has invented a lie about Allah, and we will not believe him. Note, this is so interesting, that they do believe in Allah, but they do not believe in having to answer for their deeds. They do not believe in an afterlife, as if Allah has simply just created us and left us be upon earth. He said, Hud alayhi salam said, My Lord, support me, because they have denied me. Rabbin surni bima kazzaboon. Same dua. Allah said, After a little, they will surely become regretful. So the shriek seized them in truth. It was a blast from the sky. Allah says, And we made them as plant stubble. Then away with the wrongdoing people. Then we produced after them other generations. No nation will precede its time of termination, nor will they remain thereafter. Then we sent our messengers in succession. Every time there came to a nation its messenger, they denied him. So we made them follow one another to destruction, and we made them narrations, just stories. So away with the people who do not believe. Then we sent Moses and his brother Aaron with our signs and a clear authority to Pharaoh and his establishment. But they were arrogant and were a haughty people. They said, Should we believe two men like ourselves while their people are for us in servitude? Isn't that the problem with most of us today? That we will not listen to people who we deem to be lower than ourselves? Human beings are always status conscious. If it's not age, it will definitely be wealth, fame, power. It will even be looks. It might even be the style of clothing someone wears. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-kibru batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. Arrogance is to deny the truth and to look down upon people. Allah says, So they denied them, Musa and Harun alaihi salam, and were of those destroyed. And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided. And we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign, and sheltered them within a high ground, having level areas and flowing water. Allah said, O messengers, eat from the good foods and work righteousness. Indeed, I of what you do am knowing. It is imperative that people eat halal, because it inspires us, it helps us to do righteous works. Allah always says in the Quran, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. These two things are connected at a very deep level. And this was the first message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always teach His messengers. Allah encourages us and gives us strength with these stories, because Allah proves that Allah's party, the believers, will always be victorious, will always overcome, even though at that moment it seems like the victory from Allah is never coming. But the truth will always prevail. That is a law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an unchangeable law. Allah helps believers, but we have to change ourselves. Remember, Allah says that Allah does not change the condition of a nation until they change themselves. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, Allah has said that. We have to change ourselves and the victory will come. Allah then says, and indeed this, your religion, is one religion. Allah has always revealed Islam, and I am your Lord, so fear me. But they, the people, divided their religion among them into portions. They became sects, denominations. Each faction, Allah says, in what it has, rejoicing. Everyone thinks that they are on the right path. They divided their religion and veered from the straight path. They did not follow the teachings of their prophets as they should have. Allah says, فَذَرْهُمْ فِي غَمْرَتِهِمْ حَتَّى حِينَ. So leave them in their confusion for a time. Do they think that what we extend to them of wealth and children is because we hasten for them good things? Simply because they have worldly benefits and a great life here, does that mean that Allah is happy with them? No. Rather, they do not perceive. What do they not perceive? That the good things given to them in this world are a trial. It's a test. There is no guarantee that simply because someone is successful in this world that Allah is pleased with them. Allah gives far more to kuffar, to atheists even. That does not mean Allah is pleased with them. We know that. But if we didn't, now the Quran tells us, Alhamdulillah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Indeed, they who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord. خَشْيَة. This خَشْيَة means fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُشْفِقُونَ. To be apprehensive. Not sure. Not sure at all whether what I have done is going to be counted in my favor. Is Allah even going to accept my deeds? Will Allah look at me, speak to me on the Day of Judgment? The true believers are always apprehensive. Abdullah ibn Masud once said that a kafir looks at his sins, views his sins as if they were a fly sitting on his nose and he swats it away with his hand. Whereas the believer thinks that his sins are like a mountain above him. You remember, one of the seven kinds of people whom Allah will give shade to on the Day of Judgment will be the person who cries when he remembers Allah. How does that happen? It only happens if a person is apprehensive. It only happens if they truly, truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else, even themselves. They are never confident that they have won the favor of Allah until they see the book of deeds given to them in their right hand. And they have passed the bridge over hellfire safely. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Allah says, indeed they who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord, and they who believe in the signs of their Lord, and they who do not associate anything with their Lord, and they who give what they give while their hearts are fearful, because they will be returning to their Lord. It is they who hasten to do good deeds, and they outstrip others therein. Do I give when I spend in the way of Allah, sadaqah, zakat? Is my heart fearful, wajilatun? Is it trembling? Why are their hearts trembling? The hands are writing the checks. The hands are counting out the money. They're discussing with their spouses or within them or their own selves, if they are sole owners of that money, how are we going to spend this? But are their hearts fearful? Why would they be fearful? Because through those sadaqah, the charity, the zakah, they wish that their sins are removed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive them and have mercy upon them because of what they are spending. They are not sure. How do I react when someone asks me for money? How do I react when someone says, donate something? Or a poor relative calls and says, you know, how are you doing? And once you're in Ramadan, they always call you up and you know. It is because they want something from you. They need help. How do I feel? Every opportunity that knocks on our door, it is an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do I get irritated? Do I get impatient? Do I feel this is too much? They keep calling me, they keep coming over, visiting over and over again. I keep getting these emails over and over again. I'm always invited to these galas. Subhanallah, your money is not your money. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah said, your money is what you eat and you digest. And the rest is left for your inheritors. If we really want that money to be placed in our bank account, we have to spend it in the way of Allah. We have to spend it gladly. The Sahaba used to wait for opportunities to spend. They were so eager to spend. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, hated to spend. They found it difficult to spend. So there are two places where a person should test their iman. How do I get up for salah? Is it with laziness or with eagerness? How do I spend? Is it with eagerness or irritation or complacency? Allah praises people who are eager to spend. They're waiting to spend and they are fearful because they will be returning to their Lord. Ulaika yusari'una fil khairat. These are the ones who are rushing to do good. This is how you rush to do good. Allah says, wahum laha sabiqun, and they have outstripped other people. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. وَلَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And we charge no soul except with that within its capacity. And with us is a record which speaks with truth, and they will not be wronged. Allah says, whatever you are asked to spend, it is truly within your capability. Allah says, but their hearts are covered with confusion over this, and they have evil deeds besides that, meaning the disbelief which they are doing. Until when we seize their affluent ones with punishment, at once they are crying to Allah for help. Do not cry out today, Allah says. Indeed, by us you will not be helped. My verses had already been recited to you, but you were turning back on your heels in arrogance regarding it, conversing by night, speaking evil, plotting, planning, Allah says. Then, have they not reflected over the word, meaning the Quran? Or has there come to them that which had not come to their forefathers? Do they have their own revelation? Or did they not know their messenger? So they are toward him disacknowledging, they don't recognize this person, Allah says. Or do they say, in him is madness? Rather, he brought them the truth, but most of them to the truth are averse. The Quraysh knew the Prophet ﷺ. They used to trust him before and even after the revelation. They would leave their ornaments and their money with him as safekeeping even after he started preaching Islam. But, Allah says, the truth was averse to them. But if the truth, meaning Allah, had followed their inclinations, the heavens and the earth and whoever is in them would have been ruined. Rather, we have brought them their message, but they, from their message, are turning away. This is a reminder that they were waiting for, Allah says. Or do you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask them for payment? Why are they running away? Is it because you're asking them for reimbursement for this message? Any money? Do they have to give up any wealth to you? Any property to you? Remember, they did offer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all of those things, simply so that he would stop preaching Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly refused. Allah says, but the reward of your Lord is best, and he is the best of providers. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, the best of those who give risk. And indeed you invite them to a straight path. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his method, through his teachings, was inviting them to the straight path, the path that goes straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But indeed, those who do not believe in the hereafter are deviating from the path, Allah says. And even if we gave them mercy and removed what was upon them of affliction, they would persist in their transgression, wandering blindly. So no matter what difficulties come in their way, even if Allah removes them, they will still not turn back to Allah. And we had gripped them with suffering as a warning, but they did not yield to their Lord, nor did they humbly supplicate. Allah clearly tells us in this ayah that suffering is simply a warning so that people would become humble. Normally, people become very soft and humble when they feel and they experience difficulty or pain. Allah says, but this did not happen to these disbelievers. They did not yield to Allah. فَمَسْتَكَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَدَرَّعُونَ. And they did not humbly supplicate to Allah. They never turned to Allah. So Allah became angry, until when we have opened before them a door of severe punishment, immediately they will be there in despair. So first came suffering, difficulty. But then, because they were stubborn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door of severe punishment. May Allah protect us from that. Ameen. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And it is He who produced for you hearing and vision and hearts. Little are you grateful. How are we ungrateful? Because all of these abilities were meant for us to see the truth. We do not use them properly. Our hearing, we really don't listen to the Quran the way we ought to listen, with understanding. Wal absar, our vision, our ability to see, our perception needs to be clear, so that we see the truth as it is. Wal afida, and our hearts, our emotions, they are all relegated to something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to something other than the truth. So Allah says, this is how. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. And it is He who has multiplied you throughout the earth, and to Him you will be gathered. And it is He who gives life and causes death. And His is the alternation of the night and day. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Then will you not reason? Will you not use your aql, your intellect? Rather, they say like what the former people said. They said, when we have died and become dust and bones, are we indeed to be resurrected? We have been promised this, we and our fathers before. This is not but legends of the former peoples. Yes, there are some remnants of these stories from before. We remember this vaguely, but really, this doesn't mean anything. They're just stories, they're just legends. We don't have to believe this. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to whom belongs the earth and whoever is in it, if you should know, ask them this question. Allah says, they will say to Allah, because they believe in Allah. Say, then will you not remember? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Will you not take heed? Say, who is Lord of the seven heavens and Lord of the great throne? They will say they belong to Allah. Say, قُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Then will you not have taqwa of Him? Then will you not fear Him? Say, in whose hand is a realm of all things, and He protects while none can protect against Him, if you should know. The kuffar of Makkah, the Quraysh, will say, all belongs to Allah. Say, فَأَنَّا تُصْحَرُونَ sahar. How are you influenced and how are you deluded? بَلْ آتَيْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Rather, we have brought them the truth, and indeed, Allah says, they are liars.